Thank you, Albert. I can't tell if he gets bigger every 6 months or I get smaller, but something's going on there. Albert is a nationally ranked shot putter, if you don't know, by the way, and has done very well for himself. But, you know, we never do. Athletes have a hard time accepting how good they are because they could always be better. Amen. But he's very good, and we're just so grateful to have his spirit and wish him well as he goes back to Lafayette, I think, for your final year. All right. Amen. Let us pray. Good Lord, thank you for the word. May it open our hearts to your spirit. May we hear what we need to hear as individuals and as your people. And may we have the courage to be those people. We ask this in the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Let the people say, Amen. It's really a simple question, isn't it? Teach us how to pray. And Jesus gives a long, complicated answer. And you can do that if you're talking to insiders, people who have been raised in the church. You know, you can talk about our Father. Who is that? My Father? Are you talking about my Father? No, God, who art in heaven. Thy kingdom come. What kingdom? If you're on the inside, you know what all this language is. But he also gives a second answer, doesn't he? He says, ask. He says, knock. He says, seek. And you will be given the Holy Spirit. Everybody can understand that. Amen? I remember when I was a student pastor in New York City at Washington Square United Methodist Church. For the first time, people were calling me pastor. And a new member came in. She had been a new member for 3 months, and she's one of those people we call unchurched. She was not an insider. Those are the people you want in your Bible study. You know why? They don't know what they're not supposed to ask. So they ask all those questions that you have on your mind, but you're supposed to know the answers to. They're just free. Well, they're free when they come in and they ask simple questions. And she came in and nervously sat down with me and she said, Pastor Sean, can you teach me how to pray? And you know, in that moment, I knew that my master's degree in theology, my second master's degree in divinity, all those papers I had written on Augustine and Cornell West and Flannery O'Connor and all those efforts, all that stuff I loved doing, could not answer her question. I could feel it. And the only thing that had prepared me was 3 months prior, my wife, whose cousin Ruth, 35 years old, was dying of breast cancer because when she was 28 and she felt a little lump, the doctor said, women your age don't get breast cancer. And these were her final days, and she had those two little daughters that were not going to have their mother. And my wife reached over and grabbed my hand, and like she has never said before, she said, will you pray with me? And I knew all those master's degrees and all those papers cannot do what another human being can do for another person. So I sat there with the new member, and in my nervous way, I started talking about the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed, and I said, my favorite prayer, my go-to prayer is the Hail Mary. And she said, like in football? If I could do it over, Lord, forgive me wherever you are, Sarah. If I could do it over, this is what I would say. Teach me how to pray, Pastor Sean. Get down on your knees. Put your hand on your face and say, God, help me. And I promise you, God will. That is what Jesus says to us this morning. If you knock, if you ask, if you seek, everyone will find the Holy Spirit. Amen? He doesn't say you have to be raised in the church. He doesn't say you have to sing in the choir. He says ask. That is the promise of the gospel. Now here's the deal. When you ask, when you make that request, the Holy Spirit's coming. And we all want the Holy Spirit, don't we? I want the Holy Spirit. You want the Holy Spirit. But you want the Holy Spirit on your terms, and I want the Holy Spirit on my terms. But what we find when we ask the Holy Spirit to come in, we find out two things. We find out about the character of God, and we find out about our own character. You may have prayed because I got this energy bill I need to pay. And that's what your need is. Now, God, I don't want you to mess up the rest of my messed up life over here. Just take care of this one little itty-bitty thing. Just come in here and handle this. But God has a character. And that character of God is revealed through Jesus Christ, and it is revealed through the Holy Spirit when you ask it into your heart. That's what's coming in. And you'll find out, as I said, about your own character. God gives because it is God's character to give. What Jesus says in this complicated parable about your neighbor who knocks on the door at the middle of the night and you don't want to be bothered, he's telling us why we give. Why do we give? Because someone's annoying the tarnation out of us, so we give. Maybe we think they deserve it. I borrowed something, flour from them last week, so yeah, I'll give. We give because we think they deserve it. They annoy it. They are annoying us, whatever. God gives because it is God's character to give. Do you remember that Roman centurion who asked Jesus, please come heal my daughter, she's dying? Remember that person? The Roman centurion who takes the extra pay on Saturday night to crucify Jews like Jesus. This is the one that came to him. This is the Roman centurion that just spent Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning frisking young Jewish boys as they went to school with their girlfriend, get down on the ground, checking their bodies, doing all kinds of body search while the girlfriend watches, and he talks about the Yankees game last night. That's the Roman centurion that asked Jesus to come into my house. Jesus gives because it is his character to give. And when Jesus gives, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, it is going to disrupt the status quo as you understand it. My broken arm, this is all because I prayed to the Holy Spirit. You all think I fell getting on my bike. But this is how that happened. 2 weeks ago, Jamel, our sound man, our Delgado student, came to me. He said, Pastor, I need to make some extra money. And I thought, I need my grass cut. But I also thought, I like cutting the grass. It doesn't need to be cut right now. I'm going to cut it this weekend. So I said, Jamel, I'll see what I can do. And I said a prayer. Good Lord, this young man is doing the best he can. Help him out. So guess what happened? Week and a half went by. Did the grass get cut? No. Guess who took his bike out in the high grass and tried to get on it, and it got caught up in the grass, and I fell over and broke my arm. Now, guess who's got plenty of extra work? Jamel. This is how it gets worked out. We all think I just fell because I'm an old man and I fell good. That's not how I prayed. Holy Spirit, help me. This is how it happens. You got down on your knees and you said, help me pay these bills. And you know if you turn to the world isn't going to help you pay your bills. If you're late on one bill, miraculously, five new credit card offers show up in your mailbox. How does it happen? Because people know your number. They are coming after you. And you happen to go into church right after you prayed, help me with these bills, and you find out there's a financial peace university class going on, and right here in this sanctuary, 30 people met for 3 nights last week trying to get their mess together. You cannot turn to the world in these matters because the world is interested in you becoming an indentured servant. My niece just went through undergrad, worked her tail off. She's gotten into medical school. I asked her, Anne Marie, you're going to have to take some loans out for medical school, right? She said, yeah. I said, how much? How much do you think? $350,000. 4 years. $350,000. That is a crime. But that's where we live. You have to turn to the Spirit and do what you can in a community that seeks the same thing that you seek, which is God's goodness in a world that doesn't work so well. Maybe you prayed, God, why am I so lonely? Maybe you're so lonely because you think it's your job to be an op-ed critic everywhere you go, at work, at church, with your friends. You can tell everybody what's wrong with them, and you're really good at identifying those things. But you prayed, God, why am I so lonely? And one day you looked around after saying all your ugliness to everybody, and you realized, they're still my friends. They bear me like a cross. They love me whether I deserve it or not. And something has been revealed to you about the glory of God and what you can do in your life. If we read this passage the way I read it, this is a morning time event. Jesus in chapter 10 has just left Martha and Mary's house. And he is praying somewhere, and his disciples see him, and they want what he's got, which is the Holy Spirit. And they go in the morning and they ask him, can you teach us how to pray? Every tradition I know says that the best hour to pray, to invite the Holy Spirit into your life, is the first hour of the day. It is the hour before the world gets a hold of you. It's that hour before you think about Samaritans the way you've learned to think about Samaritans. It's the hour before you realize that your neighbor's dog had just dumped on your yard again. It's before that. It's before you get to work and you realize your principal's an idiot. And if you were the principal, you could make much better decisions. Everybody would be happy, and you would be everybody's best friend. Amen. It is that hour of the day. Now, before you feel guilty, everyone in those traditions, all those nuns and monks who tell us how important that first hour is, Jesus, his 12 disciples, all of them, not a one of them had two children. They had to get up in the morning, get clothes on their back, get something on their table, get them off to school, find some hose that didn't have a run in it, try to shave with your left hand when your right arm's broken. They didn't have any of those problems. You always need to remember, we have a God of grace and mercy. That is the God that is always coming at you, that is always looking to enter into your heart. And you need to hear the words of Scripture in your own way. And this is how I hear them. Mothers and fathers, you were not made for the law. The law was made for you. So my morning prayer, you know what it is, ain't what it used to be. That first child, it was kind of like a nice smooth ride in a boat, and you kind of hit a bump, but you could handle it. That second child, it was like you were going 25 knots and somebody threw the anchor overboard. That's just what it feels like in the morning at my house. I don't know what it feels like at your house. No matter what hour you get up. So I have these little things that I do. I call them threshold prayers. When I am walking into my son's room, what are the first words he's going to hear from me? Will he hear the words of a father, or will he hear the words of everything else I got going on in my mind? When I walk into my daughter's room, will she hear the words of her father that loves her and adores her, or will she hear everything else I have going on in my mind? When I walk through the door of this church, will people see and hear the face of a pastor or every other thing I got going on in my life? I call these a threshold prayer, but the best thing that's ever come my way was from an 87-year-old, good old-fashioned United Methodist woman. When I lived in Baton Rouge, a group of women said, "Pastor, can you come to our United Methodist Women's Circle and teach us about prayer?" "Oh, I'd love to. Here's the Lord's Prayer. Here's the Apostles' Creed. Here's my favorite, the Hail Mary. Here's a on and on." Finally, this 87-year-old woman said, and the best time is in the morning. This 87-year-old woman raised her hand. This is the year before I was ordained. She said, "Well," she goes, "I know that I always wanted to be a botanist. But as you can see, I never became a botanist. By the time I was 22, I was married, I had 3 kids, and I didn't like most of it. I didn't like to cook. I didn't like to clean. I didn't like to make breakfast. I liked to smoke cigarettes, and I liked to work in the garden. But the next 20 years weren't going to change, and I was depressed." And she said, "I know I was giving my depressed self to my children every morning. And it can't be this way. And so I prayed one day in my car, 'God help me.' And the next song on the radio was Glenn Miller, 'In the Mood.'" Do you remember that song, Glenn Miller, 'In the Mood?" Da 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 pa da 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 pa da 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 pa da 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 pa da 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 in the mood. And she realized, that's it. I need to change my mood. That's the song I was dancing when I was dancing with my husband. Before I knew it, he asked me to marry him. Before I knew it, I said yes, and now here I am. I need to change my mood. Every morning I got up and I put on Glenn Miller, 'In the Mood.' And I would dance around the table and I would cook the worst breakfast those kids ever met. But they would look me in the face and they would see their mother just loved them to death. She was in the mood. So guess what gets played at our house at 7 o'clock in the morning? Earth, Wind, and Fire. Track 2, Best Of, Volume 1. The Way of the World. Now, if you never listen to the lyrics, because I don't listen to the lyrics that often. I just like the sound, but the lyrics are all about inviting the Holy Spirit into your life so that you don't become one with this messed up world. It's all about it. Hearts of fire creates love, desire. Take you high and higher to the world where you belong. Hearts of fire creates love's desire. Higher, higher to the place on the throne. We've come together on this special day. Amen? Give me a snap to sing our message loud and clear. Looking back on message, looking back, we've touched on sorrowful days. The future past, they disappear. Listen up. You will find peace of mind if you look way down in your heart and soul. Don't hesitate, because the world seems so cold. Stay young at heart, because you'll never, 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 never let your heart grow old and cold. That's the way of the world. Now listen, plant your flower and it will grow into a pearl. A child is born with a heart of gold, and this world makes their heart grow cold. Don't you do the same. Hearts of fire creates love's desire. Take you higher and higher to the world you belong. Hearts of fire, love's desire.
lift you high and high up to the wall.
You belong. Ask. Seek. Knock. You will find. The Holy Spirit, let the people say, Amen.